please, to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy and find the third chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 3. The book of Deuteronomy, the third chapter. I'm going to read to you a few verses here in chapter 3, beginning in verse number 12. But here's the thing that I want you to realize. I quoted a verse this morning. I didn't give you the reference, but it's a New Testament verse. It's found in Romans chapter 15 in verse number 4. And the Bible says there, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Sometimes, if you were to turn on the television and listen to some of those television preachers, they would have you to think that because God is good, and He is good, but your life should always be good. Every day should be 75 degrees with the sun shining, low humidity, always extra money in your bank account. Your head will never lay on your pillow because of any type of sickness or disease, and you ought to drive a fancy new car and live in a great big house, and, you know, things of that nature. You understand what I'm talking about. Folks, that's not the truth. That's not the truth. When you look in the Old Testament scriptures, and those things were written for our learning, and God's given us many examples, sometimes the examples were individuals. Sometimes the great example that God gives us is the nation of Israel. And the thing that I want you to realize is this. What Israel did sometimes and experienced nationally as a nation, you experience as an individual. You look at the nation of Israel, sometimes they were guilty of unbelief. Are we sometimes guilty of unbelief? Sometimes they failed God. Have you failed God? Hey, there's other times that they did great exploits for God. Amen. And maybe we can do some things for God too sometimes. Sometimes they were hungry. Sometimes they were thirsty. Sometimes they had to battle. And you know what? I'm just trying to get it across to you that sometimes you're going to have to go through different things. There's a place that those of us who know Christ as our Savior are going one day, and it's called heaven. Amen. And when you get there, every day will be a good day. And when you get there, you'll never have another problem again. And as we saw this morning, when you get to that place, you know what God will do? He'll wipe away every tear from your eye. Amen. There'll be no more hospitals, no more cemeteries, no more heartaches, no more pain. But until we get there, you experience those things in this life. You see, the only thing that makes you different as a Christian is that a lost person has to travel that pathway of life and go through all those things all by themselves. And you and I may have to travel that route and go that pathway, but hallelujah! You don't got to do it all by yourself. You know, sometimes people will make the accusation against the Christian. They'll say this, you know what? You're weak. You need a crutch. Amen. I need one. I don't just need a crutch. I need two crutches. Amen. I need God the Father, God the Son, and even God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Helping me. I need a triple crutch. But thank goodness we have one, as Joseph sang about. That's with us all the time. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 3. Now, I won't preach a long time, and I'm going to try to keep my word so that you don't say tonight, that preacher's a liar. But I'm in verse number 12 of chapter 3 of the book of Deuteronomy, and notice what the scripture says. In this land, which we possessed at that time from Aroer, which is by the river Arnon, and the half tribe, or excuse me, the half Mount Gilead, and the cities thereof, gave I to the Reubenites and to the Gadites. And the rest of Gilead and all Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh. All the region of Argob, with all Bashan, which is called the land of the giants, Jair, the son of Manasseh, took all the country of Argob unto the coast of Geshurai and Maacathi, and called them after his own name, Bashan, Havoth, Jair, unto this day. And I gave Gilead unto Maker, and unto the Reubenites, and unto the Gadites, I gave from Gilead even unto the river Arnon half of the valley and the border even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, the plain also and Jordan and the coast thereof from Chinneroth or Chinnereth. That's Galilee. That's Gennesaret, even unto the sea of the plain, even unto the salt sea under Ashdoth Pisgah eastward. And I commanded you at that time, saying, the Lord your God hath given you this land to possess it. You shall pass over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel, all that are meet for the war, but your wives and your little ones and your cattle. For I know that ye have much cattle. Shall I abide in your cities, which I have given you, until the Lord have given rest unto your brethren, as well as unto you, and until also they also possess the land which the Lord your God hath given them beyond Jordan, and then shall ye return every man unto his possession, which I have given you. Now let's pray, and then we'll get right down to the message. Father, we are thankful for all that you've blessed us with today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to a church house. Thank you, Lord, that someone can sing, and you, through your Spirit, can minister to our hearts. And Lord, thank you. We have a book tonight that shows us the way of life. And the way, Lord, not only of this life and how to live in this life, but the way to you, God, and the way to all eternity. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear God, I pray that tonight, as we spend these moments in your book, that you'll minister grace to your people. And Lord, when we leave here tonight and we go out the doors, whenever that is, after the fellowship, but Lord, when we leave here tonight, might we be able to say, I'm glad that I went to the house of the Lord. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, here in the book of Deuteronomy, you understand this, that a generation has died in the wilderness. You'll remember that because of Israel's unbelief and their disobedience at that place called Kadesh Barnea. You read about it in Numbers chapter 13 and Numbers chapter 14. Because of their sin, because of their unbelief, a generation has not only died, but they spent 40 years in wilderness wandering instead of going right and entering into the land of Canaan. And it's the second generation that is about to go into the land. And Moses is giving the nation their instructions before they cross the Jordan River and enter into the land of Canaan. And he's speaking here in this portion of scripture that we read to the 2.5 tribes of Israel, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh, whose inheritance is going to be east of the Jordan River. And that land east of the Jordan River was known as Gilead. Now, in warring and in conquering those people that inhabited that portion, that region east of the Jordan River, you understand and you realize that some of those people were giants. Look at verse number 13 again. It says, and the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh, all the region of Argob, which is all and all with all Bashan. Notice what it says, which is called the land of giants. The land of giants. You know what I want you to realize tonight, Christian? God has some blessings for you. God has a place for you. God has some wonderful things for you. But before you can inhabit the land and enjoy those blessings, you know what you're going to have to go up in war against? Talk to me. Giants. Giants. So you see that Israel warred and conquered some giants. And just as Israel battled some giants, you and I are going to have to war against some giants. Oh, I realize that the giants that we war against, they warred against people that were giants. And you're not going to war against the people that are giants. You're going to war and you're going to battle against situations in your life. And you're going to war against opposition in your life, which humanly speaking are greater and bigger and stronger than you and I, the giants. And so here's the lessons that we learn from Israel's experience that you and I can apply to ourselves. All right, number one, here's the first thing that I want you to realize. God gave them the land. God gave them the land. Hey, listen, before they even got in, before they even crossed over, God gave them and promised them a land. And the land that they were dwelling in now, in Gilead, God gave them the land. Look at verse 13 again. It says, and the rest of Gilead and all Bashan being the kingdom of Og. Notice just a couple words here. Gave I unto the half tribe of Manasseh. Look at verse number 15. And I gave Gilead unto Maker. Look at verse number 18. And I commanded you at the last time, saying, the Lord your God, look at the words, hath given you this land to possess it. Look down in verse number 20. Here's not land, but notice verse number 20. It says, until the Lord hath given rest unto your brethren. Hey, the thing that I'm wanting you to realize tonight is this. Whatever it is you have, whatever it is you possess, whatever it is you ultimately receive, whether it be land or possessions or even what? Rest. Have you ever said to God, oh God, I just need some rest, whether it be physical rest, spiritual rest, but some kind of rest. Oh God, I need rest. Hey, listen, whatever you get, whatever you got, whatever you shall receive, it's God that gave it to you. It's God that gave it to you. Hey, even whatever a lost person has, the only reason they have it is because God gave it to them. Remember that story, not a parable, folks, but remember the story that the Lord Jesus Christ told in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. He talked about a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And the Bible says there was a beggar named Lazarus that was at his gate. And he was filled with sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from that rich man's table, the dogs came and licked his sores. You know, Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom, the Bible tells us. And the rich man died and went to hell. Can you think? Think now, folks. You know I'm telling you the truth when I say that. We don't like to think this way. But it's the truth nonetheless. Lazarus had nothing in life. You know who was in control of that? Talk to me. God. He was sick. His body was filled with sores. And you know where he couldn't go? To the doctor. And you know who was in control of that? Talk to me. See, God is in control of every situation of life. You see, hey, listen, you know what? I said the TV preacher would have you to think that if you're saved, that that ought not to be your lot in life. But sometimes you cannot control the things that come your way in life. Amen. You know I'm telling you the truth. But the Bible says that that man was carried by the angels where? Into Abraham's bosom, Lazarus. And the rich man died, the Bible says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in his bosom and he saw Abraham. And he begins to speak to Abraham and he says, Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And then Abraham begins to answer him. And do you remember the words that Abraham speaks? He says, son. He says, remember that thou in thy lifetime, are you listening? Remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted. But thou art tormented. The thing that I'm wanting you to realize is, you know what? Just like he's saying, there will come a day. You see, it might not be in this life. Mm-hmm. It might not be till we get to the other side. But yep. There'll come a day when God turns everything around. Amen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You see. Yes, but you see, what the rich man didn't realize as he went through life, and he died without God, and he died without Christ, and he went to an eternal hell, he didn't realize that, you know what? The reason he had what he had, and the reason he possessed what he possessed, was because of the hand of God in his life. Now, here's a verse of scripture that you're familiar with. You find it in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, in everything, and the word is everything. Right. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so, you know what? I'm to thank God, yes, when I've been blessed to the Lord. I'm to thank God, yes, when I have extra and beyond my need. I'm to thank God all the time, but I'm to thank God even when the heartaches and the heartbreaks and the difficulties.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank Him then.
Good.
Come my way. Yep. I think there's this guy in the Bible. I think he was the richest man in the world. He had more than anybody else. And I think in one day, you know what God did? Or allowed, I should say. Not God did it, but God allowed it. God allowed him to lose everything he possessed. I think he had 10 children. 7 sons and 3 daughters. And you know what I think God allowed? 10 children to die in one day. Yeah. I couldn't even fathom having to go to a cemetery and look at 10 holes in the ground and place every one of your children in those holes and cover them up with dirt. But Job did. And God allowed all that to happen. He let the devil do him. And remember, it was the test. Because the devil said, if you'll just allow some bad things to happen to him, he'll curse you. And remember the words of Job? The Bible says he shaved his head. He put sackcloth on. And he got down in the dust. And he lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, the Lord giveth. And the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Now, hey, listen, folks. I'm telling you, he went through some bad days. And I don't know how long those bad days lasted, but it was a protracted period of time. But when you get to chapter 42, you see, he got it back, all back. He got it back double, amen. And he's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. I'm telling you, God gave it. God allowed to be taken away. God gave him back double. There was a man that understood some things. You know what I'm wanting you to realize? Tonight, whatever you got, God gave you.
Amen.
You better be thankful.
Yeah.
Israel had some land east of the Jordan. You know why they had it? God gave it to them. That's number one. Number two, that land was acquired by human effort. God gave them the land, and then that land was acquired by human effort. Now, as we've already seen, God gave the land to Israel, but it required some effort for them to obtain it. They didn't just walk in and the giants fell down. You see, they had to war and realize that if you want the blessings of God in your life, it's going to require sometimes effort on your part. I understand that sometimes, you know what, you might not have to do much or anything at all. There are times when God said to the nation as they came up against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was behind them and the Red Sea before him, God says, Moses said to the nation of Israel, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God just parted the waters and they went over to dry shod. But it wasn't always that way. Most of the time, somebody had to do something. And so if you want the blessings of the Lord in your life, it's going to require some effort on your part. Some effort on your part. Some labor on your part. Some obedience on your part. Some warfare on your part. Some difficulty on your part. And I got to tell you something. You know why a lot of Christians really don't get the blessings of God in their life like God would have them? Because they're not willing to put in any or much effort to obtain the blessings of the Lord. I just want to be happy. I don't know why I can't be happy. I just want to be happy. John chapter 13, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And he says to him when he gets done, he girded himself. And then you know what? He did something. He got down with a basin and a towel. He washed their feet. He said, I've given you an example. And then down in verse number 17 of that chapter, he says, if you know these things, if you know these things, but then he just stopped there. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if ye what? Do them. It ain't just knowing it. It's what? Doing it. See? I think he said this, if any man will come after me, let him take up his what?
Cross.
What?
Cross.
Cross. Christ died on the cross for you and I to have salvation, redemption, justification. It's not the cross that he's talking about. That's only one cross that Christ died upon. But there's a cross. A Christian has a cross to bear. But you know what? When you think about a cross, you think about some hardship. You think about some tears. You think about suffering. I could preach a message to you just on the cross, the Christian's cross. But he said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and what? Follow me. Follow me. And you see, in that obedience and in that suffering, you know what ultimately it works out to? Starts with a B, ends with a G, got a couple S's in the middle. Blessing. You want to get in the land? You want to get everything God has for you? Then realize, if you do get it, God gave it to you. And realize that it's going to require probably some human effort to obtain it. And number three, I'm on my third point. I'm almost done. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. Last thing I want you to recognize and realize and understand, there's no victory apart from faith. There's no victory apart from faith. You can't conquer giants by your own power. You can't conquer giants by your own ability. You know what it requires? It requires faith. May I turn you to a portion of scripture that probably most of you are familiar with. It's found in the very next book, the book of Joshua. It's found in Joshua chapter 14. This is when Israel is warring and conquering the land. Joshua chapter 14, the land is being divided up amongst the tribes and amongst the people. And in verse number 8, you got the words of a man by the name of Caleb. And in verse number 8 of chapter 14 of the book of Joshua, he says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever and ever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now to war, for war, both to go out and to come in." Hey, listen, you know what I want to do? I want to preach with power when I'm 85. Amen. Just like Caleb was 85. But now he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will give me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord has said." And Joshua, are you listening? Joshua, that's the name that Jesus had. Jesus is just the Greek rendering of the Hebrew name Joshua. When you're going from English to, or Hebrew to English, it's Joshua. Greek to English, it's Jesus. It's the same name. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunne, Hebron for an inheritance. Who got Hebron? Caleb. If you were in Sunday school, in the adult Sunday school class this morning, I taught from Judges chapter 16, verses 1 to 3. That situation, all right, that incident in the life of Samson, all right, when he is down in the city of Gaza, which was a city of giants, and he gets up in the midnight hour and he goes and he grabs the gates of that city. And I told you those gates were 10 to 12 feet high with their posts. They were 20 to 24 feet wide. They weighed maybe as much as 2 tons. And he ripped that gate right off the wall and he put that gate on his shoulders and he went to the hill of Hebron. He walked about 20 miles with 4 tons on his back. Whoa. And set the gates down there. What a guy. But Caleb was a man of faith. Caleb got Hebron for an inheritance. Two things and I'm done. You want to get blessed? Going to take some human effort. You got to realize whatever you get blessed with, it came to you by the hand of goodness of God, and it's going to require some faith. Two illustrations, and I'm finished. My wife showed me a thing on Facebook. It was a little cartoon kind of a thing. But it told, real quickly, in just a matter of a couple minutes, it told the story of a man. This man got married when he was 18 years of age. He had his first child when he was 19 years of age. He wasn't 22 or 23 years of age when his wife left him. It told about all his difficulties that he went through in life. And it seemed like it was just his life was one failure after another. And he got to be 65 years of age. And what do most folks do at 65? They retire. And so at 65 years of age, he retired. And you know how much he had in his possession? $105. Well, you can't retire very long on $105. And he needed to do something. This isn't, well, the story, I guess it tells you, you know, he only knew how to do one thing, cook. And so, you know what he did? He cooked chicken. And he started going, he'd cook some chicken, he'd knock on his neighbor's doors, and he'd sell him the cooked chicken that he'd cooked. And you know who I'm talking about. Colonel Sanders. At 65 years of age, when most people retired, he started his company and worked it up to a multi-million dollar corporation. But that ain't, see, that ain't the whole story. It ended right about there, right? Can I tell you the whole story? The whole story goes like this. See, Colonel Sanders had already been, he'd been all his life kind of a religious individual. And he went to church some. And you know what? He even tithed. But you know what the amazing thing about it is this? The amazing thing is he wasn't even saved and he tithed. You can't get saved people to tithe, amen. Even though he was religious, even though he gave his money to the Lord, so to speak, in his tithes and offerings, he didn't know if he died, if he went to heaven, that he'd go to heaven. And so now, as he was getting older, and you see, he's getting all these blessings from the hand of the Lord, he takes a trip all the way to Australia. You know what he's trying to find out? He's trying to find out, how can I go to heaven? So whatever he went to in Australia, he didn't find it out. He came back to the States. And you know where Colonel Sanders was from? He's from Kentucky. Kentucky Fried Chicken. All right? And so he's walking down a street in Louisville one day. And you know what? You know who he meets? A preacher. And you know what the preacher did? Started talking to him. And you know what the preacher did? Invited him to church. And Colonel Sanders went to church. And you know what Colonel Sanders heard at church? The gospel. And you know what Colonel Sanders, when he left church that day, found out? Jesus saves. He found out that Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, became a reality in his life. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And are you listening, folks? I'm almost done. At 79 years of age, amen, Colonel Sanders came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. That, as Paul Harvey said, is the rest of the story. This guy right here, he's called the father of modern missions. His name is William Carey. William Carey said this: expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Hey, folks, you know, I want you to realize God has something for you. God wants to give you something. But in God giving it to you, it's going to require some effort on your part. And in your obtaining of it, you know what you're going to have? Faith. Faith. Let's pray and I'm done. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Joseph, heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to think of a song, okay? Lindsay.